This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, July 25th. Brought to you by Robel AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. More LandFlex grants awarded. Winery fined for wage violations. And ag spending amendments to be decided Wednesday. DWR rolls out $17 million in LandFlex grants. The Department of Water Resources yesterday awarded $17 million in grants to help farmers protect drinking water supplies by temporarily idling land. With the wet winter, the state is allowing those farmers to still recharge groundwater on those lands. The program requires farmers to fallow for 1 year and to permanently eliminate unsustainable overdraft pumping on the enrolled acres. DWR Director Carla Nemeth said programs like LandFlex help small farms and disadvantaged communities that rely on groundwater to become more resilient to drought. The program will protect drinking water for more than 34,000 households. In reaction, in the Westlands Water District, 48 farmers applied to the program, totaling more than $40 million worth of projects spanning 11,000 acres. Of those, just 8 were selected, but the demand led to a 50% increase in funding for the district. District General Manager Allison Febo said that underscores the importance of supporting farmers and promoting climate resilience. 2 other districts receive grants as well. Aubrey Betancourt, president and CEO of the Almond Alliance, commended the growers for contributing to the well-being of underserved communities while investing in new farming practices. Anja Rodabaugh, CEO of Western United Dairies, said the program is also proving its mettle with flood protection and identifying active recharge potential. She explained the adaptability has positioned LandFlex as an innovative and indispensable tool for growers to meet sustainability goals in both dry and wet periods. Keep in mind, the program launched earlier this year with $25 million. Not all of the funding was used, however, propelling a second round of grants. Winery fined for H-2A lost wages in ALRB dispute. Moritzen Farms Incorporated has agreed to pay more than $300,000 in lost wages to 21 guest workers in the H-2A visa program. The sixth-generation vineyard and winemaking operations is based in Harrellsburg. The Agriculture Labor Relations Board had pursued a complaint that the wine business refused to rehire workers after they complained of dirty restrooms, denial of rest and meal breaks, and supervisor mistreatment. The labor group North Bay Jobs with Justice filed the complaint on behalf of the workers. The settlement covers the wages the workers would have gained if rehired. EPA's new herbicide strategy greeted with cautious optimism. Pesticide manufacturers and a leading environmental group reacted positively to EPA's latest effort to address its endangered species problem, a proposed strategy released yesterday that tries to come up with a set of common conservation practices that can be used to mitigate the impacts of the herbicide. We appreciate EPA's efforts to resolve the challenges of ESA review of pesticide registration decisions, Crop Life America said in a statement. They continued, "We are reviewing the documents that were published and will be submitting comments. CLA will continue to advocate for a process that works for all interested stakeholders." Center for Biological Diversity, which has been active in lawsuits seeking to force the EPA to conduct interagency consultations with federal wildlife agencies, reserved judgment on the eventual impact of the document. However, scientist Nathan Donnelly said the group was pleased that EPA is trying to think outside the box. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West next. When you work with Rabo Agri Finance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Bayer adjusts earnings downward due to glyphosate sales. A significant further decline in sales of glyphosate-based products caused the Bayer Group to take a $2.8 billion write-down on glyphosate and adjust earnings downward for the year. The change will result in a second quarter loss of about $2.2 billion, the company said yesterday. Bayer said it now anticipates sales of between $53.7 billion and $54.8 billion for the calendar year. That's down from a previous estimated range of $56.4 and $57.5 billion. Further price declines and lower volumes due to channel destocking, especially for glyphosate-based products, as well as adverse weather conditions, have increased pressure on pricing, the company said. Fate of ag spending amendments to be decided. The House Rules Committee has scheduled a meeting for tomorrow to decide which proposed amendments to the fiscal 24 agriculture spending will get debated on the House floor. As of yesterday, more than 160 amendments to the bill have been filed. They include several proposals seeking deeper cuts in USDA funding or to SNAP and other Farm Bill programs. Among the latest amendments, those are proposals to tighten SNAP work requirements and to roll back an increase in benefits provided by the 2021 update to the Thrifty Food Plan, a model of consumer food costs. You can check out our coverage. The White House issued a veto threat yesterday on the ag spending bill. Senate to consider foreign land ownership amendment to NDAA. The Senate will vote this afternoon on whether to approve an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act restricting foreign investors affiliated with the People's Republic of China, the Russian Federation, the Islamic Republic of Iran, or the Democratic People's Republic of Korea from purchasing U.S. land. The amendment is based on a bill introduced by Senators Mike Rounds of South Dakota and John Tester of Montana in February that would expand the Committee on Foreign Investment of the U.S. authority to block land purchases by people affiliated with foreign adversaries. This version, however, excludes U.S. citizens and aliens lawfully admitted for permanent residence from the restrictions. Now take note. The vote on the amendment provides an important indicator of where members of the Senate stand on the issue. One key person to watch will be Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, who is sponsoring a separate bill to expand CFIUS authority over foreign land purchases. CBO puts price tag on reference price increase. Lawmakers now have a better idea of the potential price tag for increasing commodity program reference prices in an upcoming farm bill. A 10% increase would cost $24 billion over 10 years, that according to a House aide familiar with the estimate. Keep in mind, if it's unchanged, commodity programs are currently projected to cost $69 billion over 10 years. The staffer says the cost would go up exponentially with higher increases in the reference price levels. A 20% increase would cost well over twice as much as a 10% increase. Why it matters? Well, more targeted changes to reference prices or increases in the reference price escalator for the price loss coverage program would cost less than an across-the-board increase. Under current law, the reference price for a commodity can rise as much as 15%, that depending on recent increases in market prices. Increasing that 15% limit would be more likely to trigger PLC payments in future years. Finally, Here's today's She Said It. I thought there must be a better way. That Leah Schwartzman, Senior Program Manager for Equity and Conservation on Working Lands at California FarmLink. She is leading a program designed to help farming families plan for passing their land to the next generation of farmers and ranchers and to address a succession tsunami in the state as baby boomers retire. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, July 25th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.